B-Pod Studios.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused. Toucher and Rich. What the hell is going on?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Now, Rich, what is you say there's a song of the year?
Yeah, every summer has a song that, you know, you can look back on that year and say, wow, this is just everything I remember about the summer. This was everywhere. It permeated life as we know it. And, you know, like I was looking back on some of the songs of the summer from, you know, our history. 1990, the Step by Step by the New Kids on the Block.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah.
Now we're talking Joe Murray music.
That was
here.
A big deal in the area because those guys grew up right down the street. Well, I mean, they were like 5 minutes away from our radio station.
I know.
Those grew up. Step by Step, that was the jam.
Yep, that was the song of 1990 during the summer right then. 1996 was one that was such an awful phenomenon that I can't believe it lasted as long as it did. Macarena by Los Del Rio.
Macarena and I think Livin' La Vida Loca might have been the same year.
Well, Macarena was just... when you were at a baseball game and they played this and every like old mom would stand up and just, yeah. I know this. And they would just do it. It was, and that lasted for like one more season than it needed to. That was like two or three
seasons.
That's
the dance that Gronk was doing when he lost the 24/7 title to R-Truth. Remember when the landscaper back there rolled him up for the belt?
It all comes back to wrestling with you, sir.
Right.
Back in 2000, it was Maria Santana. Ooh, featuring someone. I don't know who that would be.
Wait, Maria.
Maria.
I don't even know that song, and I'm not lying.
I think it was Wyclef Jean, right?
Give me your heart and make it real, or else forget about it. Yeah. Smooth.
I mean, Smooth was the anthem of our generation.
I know.
I was at a strip club when I first heard Maria, and... I was at the Chez Paris in Montreal when I first heard that song.
Ooh, classy. Oh, I was gonna say Chez Paris sounds classy. Montreal, like, well, maybe it was. I thought you were going to say, like, you know, in, you know, Lynn.
And it was Full Contact, I would imagine, Mr. Jim Murray. Canadian strip
Joe,
clubs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very notorious for being Full Contact.
Hot in Here back in 2002. Usher's Yeah, 2004, yeah. A song built on three notes. Which infuriates me that he could make as much money just doing that song.
I remember Kevin James and Will Smith trying to dance to that song in Hitch.
Managed to avoid Hitch.
Oh. Not a good movie. Not a good movie. And then you got the Black Eyed Peas era, 2009, with I Got a Feeling. Black Eyed Peas. You know, if you play three Black Eyed Peas songs in a row, the portal to hell opens.
Out on a if that thing's on a wedding party list...
That's the worst. Then the wedding sucks. Then the wedding. Then you know what? Fire your DJ right there if they play that song. Because that was.
What if you want to get it started, but then you want the original version?
Well, then I would say you defend half the people I would think at your wedding if you use the original lyrics. But yeah, so every summer. Oh my gosh, Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
Oh yeah,
2013.
Then they got
couldn't
sued.
Avoid
right?
that.
Yeah, because he's an unoriginal prick.
Yeah, and then around 2018, I start going, I don't know what song this is.
I mean, In Cake, My Feelings Cake by the by Ocean might have had to been one, right?
Ooh, that would have been like last year.
And then
right?
Call Me Maybe?
Ooh, Call Me Maybe was kind of the jam.
Yeah.
That was not, okay, so like 2017 is Despacito, which of course was huge.
Oh, what was that?
Despacito.
I don't know that song.
You would know it if you heard it. It's one of those you'd know it if you heard it.
You've heard it.
I don't know it.
Cake by the Ocean was 2015. Wow. One Dance featuring
Drake.
Wiz Kid and
my
Drake.
My boy.
I don't know that song either.
I need a one dance.
No.
No, 2015 is Bad Blood by Taylor Swift.
There you go.
Which one is Working for the Weeknd? By Loverboy.
Let me see if they made it into like 1983. If I go back here for that.
What about Blackout in the Red Room?
I don't know what that is.
Remember that heavy metal song, Blackout in the Red Room?
I don't think so. But as I was saying, by the way, 84, Doves Cry. All right, now we're talking. So,
worst song on that album.
When Doves Cry? On, yeah. Was that Purple Rain? Yeah.
I think it's the worst song on that album, but I don't want to get into a jibber-jabber.
But every summer's got a song that is going to take over the conscience of the collective America and that we're all going to think about. And I think that I have found... the song of the summer. And this is done by a gentleman named Mark Rebelet. Now, just to describe what Mark Rebelet looks like, I'll tweet out this music video in a moment. He is a John Wallach looking fellow. He has got glasses, weighs about probably 100 pounds wet. He, in this video, has a open silk shirt, it looks like, and underwear, and that's it, and glasses. Mm. And in front of him is a keyboard, and this song is called Flamingo, and it's about a flamingo. So, Fred, if you would like to, you could let it play.
Absolutely.
I'm hopping all around, I'm a pink bird. I'm walking all around, better drink some wah-wah. I'm just flamingo, I'm coming on your shoreline. Here I go, I'm gonna peacefully drink, yo. I'm slowly creeping up to your front yard. Nothing threatening here, I'm just a flamingo. I'm a flamingo and I'm coming up to you. Oh, is that your child? I'ma rip out his motherfucking eyeball. I'm gonna rip out his goddamn eyeball. I'm a flamingo, I'ma rip out your eyeball. I'm a flamingo and I get up in your child's eyeball. No more eyeball, child bitch.
Okay, what's going on?
It's a gentleman singing about a flamingo.
So he's saying that, like, I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Right, I'm a flamingo, I'm cute. But I'm going to come up to your child and I'm going to rip out his eyeball.
So he's going to wet his beak with a little wah-wah.
And
then he's going to come and rip your child's eye out.
Yep, all while looking like John Wallach, wearing a open kimono shirt and ball shorts.
I'm an eagle. I'm going to rip your head off with the baseball encyclopedia.
Someone said Tony Maz got real dark. He does sound like DJ Tony Maz.
All right, and this is in front of an audience?
Well, he's got this, like, blue green screen behind him, and it just has, like, a flamingo walking around. I just tweeted out the video, if you would like to watch along.
Is this an actual cowbell that he's hitting, or is this a synthesizer?
No, it's a keyboard. He's got a keyboard.
Yeah, you can't replicate the cowbell without that. All right. So he's saying that at first, yeah. I'm thinking, you're just a flamingo wetting your beak.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden my kid's got one eye. All right. Yeah. We'll continue.
Time for grandma. Time for grandma. It's time for grandma. I'm going to eat your grandmother. Time for grandma. Give me.
Grandma's got to not be very large if a flamingo's going to eat her.
He may just want to eat a part of grandma.
I mean, if he's being literal, like eating grandma, I don't know how a flamingo would eat you. I'd just kick it in its snout. They got a big long neck. I bet you flamingos get pretty riled up though if you get them too crazy.
Oh sure, I'm sure it would piss you off. I don't know if it would actually like pick your eye out, but maybe close.
Yeah, probably.
Time for grandma. Time for grandma. It's time for grandma. I'm gonna eat your grandmother. Time for grandma. Give me your grandmother. Give me her. I'm eating your grandmother's. I don't give a. I'm flamingo, bitch. No rules here. No rules here. I eat. Then I fly away.
Okay, I understand now what he's talking about. But now he's gonna fly away.
Right.
There's no gonna be no cuddling.
You're saying this is Stitches Tony Maz. It's Maz's Stitches.
Can you imagine if Stitches was just dressed as a flamingo in your yard in disguise? Like, what's that 5'8 flamingo doing out there?
What's that, Maz?
When the ladies see Maz, they say, pull out your sword.
All right.
Bitch, no rules here. No rules here. I eat then I fly away. Flamingo, goddammit, I don't care.
All right, Dan, can flamingos fly, or is this horse caca?
I was thinking that. I'm like, do they tuck up those legs and take off?
I don't think that they could fly very far.
Not very far, not very high. I'm assuming they go across the Everglades at a very low pace.
They prefer to fly with a cloudless sky, it says.
Hope it rains. If your grandma wants any kind of postcoitus, pray for rain.
Someone said we found somebody's grandpa.
I'm Mike behind the Mike Callahan.
Well, Callahan had to go in the new direction. He was like, "This is too dirt. This I don't like this. Give me the Everly Brothers or whatever the hell his influences are."
Damn it, I don't care. I live by these rules and it's true to dare, baby. It's a lawless nation for the flamingo. There's nothing that I do can do about it. You I can't know when I'm flying all out. Got a thirst for blood, got a thirst for blood, got a thirst for blood. I'm gonna come and get you. I'm a flamingo bitch. I'm gonna come and get your ass. It's flamingo time. I'm time to eat a little snack. Yo, your snack is mine. The snack is your person. Your human body is my appetizer. Then for dinner, I think I'm gonna do croutons and maybe a light baby spinach. I think I might do baby spinach for dinner. But first, your sister. And first, your sister.
All right. So he's a bit of a parody.
There's your song of the summer there.
He's a bit of a parody.
Oh, is that your child? I'm going to rip out his motherfucking eyeball.
Steve, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Okay. So this guy, Rich, I don't know how you found this guy, but I stumbled upon this guy a few months ago, actually, in, like, you know, one of those YouTube portals from the dark world where you just find yourself at the bottom of a very deep pit. Mm-hmm. And this guy, I guess, is incredibly popular, has a huge following, sells out pretty big theaters when there's no COVID going on because he does these live shows where he gets up on stage with his keyboard and a looping machine, and he just makes these songs up on the spot. These aren't pre-planned. They're not anything... you know, that he's written out. They're completely
They're improv? He came, that was off the dome?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, let him freestyle.
No, I'm going to rip out his goddamn eyeball.
All right. All right. We have to break. We'll be right
back.
Time
for grandma. I'm going to eat your grandmother. Time for grandma. Give me your grandmother. Give me her...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Dutcher. Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. This guy's a piece of work, huh?
Dutcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. And Rich with Cam Newton. Coming to the Patriots, would you like to take a trip down memory lane?
Oh, let's go down memory lane, shall we?
Well, there was a time where Cam Newton was just a kid out of Auburn, running around winning championships, being the guy. But then the greatest test of all was having to sit down with QB guru John Gruden.
And I remember this one. Yep, I remember this one.
And yeah, look at that. Can you do the whiteboard? Come on. I wonder if they brought Gruden in before they signed him.
I remember, because it was QB camp. Yeah, so they had not been drafted. They do this before the draft.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I remember, if my memory is correct, him not doing very well on quarterback camp. I think there were some times where he asked Cam Newton to call out a play, and Cam Newton couldn't call out a play. it was something along the line, because I remember he got criticized for it, and I remember just saying, well, just watch him play at Auburn. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. I mean, just and he was getting killed for that, and he ended up getting taken first, right? Wasn't Cam first?
Number one
was
first. Okay. It was so, actually top of the draft there. Oh, my goodness. Have you seen this draft?
Who else was that year?
Cam Newton, Von Miller, Marcel Darius, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Julio Jones, Alden Smith.
My God.
And then Jake Locker.
Yeah.
And then Tyron Smith, then Gabbert, then J.J. Watt, Christian Ponder, Nick Fairley, who, of course, the Lions took, and he was a failure. Robert Quinn, Mike Pouncey. Ryan Kerrigan. I mean, that was a draft.
Is it 11? That's
Nate Solder draft.
Wow, it is. And you know, did not have a pick in the first round that year.
I just remember he got killed because he didn't do well on Gruden's quarterback camp. And
I that's how I'd base everything.
Gruden's quarterback camp at the time was a great. I mean, that show was
fantastic.
Awesome.
I loved it.
and you learned a ton about all these guys. Like, I remember, like, he was a big Russell Wilson fan when nobody was a Russell Wilson fan. And you know what? You say, well, he's a fan of everyone. He got a little kind of like he would be somewhat condescending in the quarterback.
He didn't
camp.
Like Gabbert.
Come on, yeah, he wasn't a big fan of Gabbert.
Nah, I didn't like the name Gabbert.
Oof. He liked Foles.
That QB class, not good.
No, that.
Oh my God! So Jake Locker was like a legit player at Washington and had like all this,
but he stayed 1 year
and
too
it
late.
Just didn't work out.
He stayed 1 year too
and,
late.
And I believe the red rifle was a
Dalton.
And Dalton was in this draft, I believe, second round. Yep.
Well, I mean, he was a quote unquote success.
Yeah, but Christian Ponder did not work out.
They reached for that's just one of those things that you knew was a reach at the time. And the Jets got Muhammad Wilkerson, who was good for
them. And then Colin Kaepernick went in the second round after back-to-back picks, Dalton Kaepernick.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they knew he was going to kneel.
let's bring in the pundit.
They knew at the time he was going to kneel.
So do we have something from his quarterback camp?
Yes, we have the quarterback camp right here.
Give me some unfiltered, pure Gruden.
Yes, Mike Lockhart has found the quarterback camp for Cam Newton, and here it was.
You know, some of this verbiage in the NFL, I don't know how it was at Auburn, but it gets long. You got the shifts, the plays, the protections, the snap count, the alert. I mean, flip right, double X, jet, 36 counter, naked waglet, 7X quarter. Call something at Auburn that's a little verbal. Give me something. What's an Auburn play sound like?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot. Now, our method is simplistic equals fast. It's so simple as far as, you know, you look to the sideline, you see just 36 on the board, and that's a play.
The number one challenge you're going to have right away is the verbiage, the language, speaking a language. You're going to move to France, and you're going to have to speak French.
You're going to be like, ooh la la. You're going to wear a beret and have yourself a little time. You're going to be an expat. You're going to be hanging around with Papa Hemingway, exchanging ideas and writing and drinking. You're going to be over there, and I don't know what. You're going to be eating snails. You're going to be with women who don't shave their pits. You got to get yourself in that kind of frame of mind. Look at you in France like a silly boy walking around. Ooh, carefree. Look, there's the damn Eiffel Tower.
This guy ate over 500 brie sandwiches a day.
What do you think they called it Auburn with Cam Newton? Run.
Tiger run.
Yeah, run. Run.
He dropped back,
and if you don't find your first read, run.
He got crap for that, man. He got crap because I remember that. I was like, well, he couldn't name a play. And I'm like, have you seen him play? Trust me, he's going to be all right.
I would question what college offense anymore has any kind of verbiage now anyway. I mean, they're all spread easy offenses. Mm. You don't think so, Joe?
All of them, yeah. Yeah.
Who runs a complex offense in college?
Well, besides, like, you know, Navy and Georgia Tech.
They run the option, right.
Complex, yeah, that's a good one. Ohio State.
Okay. Because, I mean, they are, for the most part, spread offenses where it's,
yeah,
you know, a couple easy reads and then.
You mean Alabama?
All right. I guess it would depend on who's your quarterback. All right. He goes on. Damn, going to French. What are you going to lean over for the Germans? Taking over your damn land. Come on. Don't we have to come over there and save your asses.
Pretty quick.
Right.
And that'll be one of the big challenges immediately that you have, because you haven't been in a lot of these huddles, have you?
Right.
All these guys, these analysts, what's that like? All the people that are critiquing your offense, every aspect of your personal life up to this draft. And not always is it good.
Right.
I mean, it's not always, hey, you're doing great. I mean, how do you handle all that criticism and negativity out there?
I use the analogy as a simple gun.
Well, I cut myself.
Well, if you really want to go deep, I didn't know we were going to kind of reach that level of analysis here on Gruden's quarterback
camp. I try not to, but I have to feel some sort of pain to know I'm alive. What's he going to say? I cry. Like, knowing that I'm going to be the number one pick in the draft, it's very disconcerting.
It affects my game. I can't function, actually, when I get criticized.
Exactly. Yeah, a bit of a sore loser, but...
You think? Him and Belichick are the all-time awful post-Super Bowl loss people of all time. I like how people gave Cam Newton crap. And then remember when they lost to the Giants in the undefeated season and Belichick came out and basically threw a hissy fit?
Well, when he lost to Carolina and Cam Newton, there was a offensive pass interference. Well, they didn't call it on Gronk. And he was trying to grab the ref to be like, hey, didn't you see that? Yeah, that wasn't a good one.
Remember, there was talk whether he was going to get in trouble for touching a referee. Yeah. Remember that?
All right, here we go.
Negativity out there.
I use the analogy as a simple gun. And you need ammunition to be able to use the gun, right?
Say that again.
A gun.
Yeah, slower.
Say it again. Gun.
Say it again. Look the other way.
Now put it in my mouth. Put the gun in my mouth and just let the chambers roll. I got a 1-in-6 chance of ending it all right now. You willing to pull the trigger? Come on, Cam. Let's play a little game. You ever see The Deer Hunter?
A gun. I'm that. And my ammunition is the criticism that people... put in words to describe who I really am. When in my opinion, it's not true. So when people say that about, you know, Cam's a one-hit wonder, Cam's this, Cam's not, his style is not going to transition to the NFL.
You know, it was a one-hit wonder. It was Right Said Fred. Hmm. No one bothers to go and see the deep cuts. I question if anyone owns the record. They all come out, I'm too sexy. I mean, come on. Give me a break.
I wonder if they had more than one song. Do they have more than one song?
Yeah, go research.
Or are they just like a single maker?
I mean, there's Barbie Girl by that weird European band.
Aqua.
Yeah, sure. I call them H2O.
H2O is a hardcore band. You don't want to do that. Don't want to mix the two up.
Yeah, they're about the same in quality. All right. Wouldn't pay to go to an H2O show.
I hear that. I hear you talking. And I put that in the mental chamber. And when I'm working out, when I'm preparing for the NFL or making that next step, that's what I use. That's my fuel to keep getting better and better.
You know, when I'm working out, I just got a picture of Scott Baio.
Who's in charge? Charles is in charge.
Nah, it's from when he was Chachi and he got the damn scarf or the bandana around his leg. That's it. Yeah, that's who I want to be. I got a little guy with an afro, Willie Ames, next to me.
You went on to be Bobble Man.
Mm-hmm. You want to go throw a few?
Wait, what?
You want to go throw a few? Is that what he said?
Throw a few back.
Mm-hmm. You want to go throw a few?
Sounded like Rex Ryan looking at feet.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Yeah, the feet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen. You always need ammunition for your mental chamber. Always. It's like having the bank when you're alone. All right. We'll be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Tub. Toucher.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich.
Like, he dresses an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I don't, and I don't think I'd reveal that unless the player, you know, asked to speak in front of you, because I think it'd be his decision. So for, it would be, you know, he would have to make that determination. But nobody as of yet, hopefully nobody going forward has. I think the players, first of all, want to get back into the training camp environment just to see what it's going to look like. So, but so far, so good on our end from everyone in the organization on that regard.
It was a week today when we all woke up and we basically said, oh, today could be the day we find out about which two hub cities they're going to be. And then, of course, it wasn't. And at that point, Las Vegas and Vancouver were the clear front runners. Everybody assumed that's where we were going until we weren't going to Vancouver. And virtually every day since then, last week and now and again this morning, we wake up and we say, this could be the day we find out where the two hub cities are. And today, the front runners were Toronto and Las Vegas. But no announcement. And so now, are the spiking numbers in Las Vegas having the NHL cause to have second thoughts?
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Know what that bitching at the end was. They're going to play in Vegas. We've known they're playing in Vegas for about a month, and we knew that they were waiting for Toronto, at least theorized that they were waiting for Toronto, which they're going to do. Again, the NHL knows what they're doing, in my opinion. I figured that I knew. I didn't break this story. I mean, the Vegas paper said they were going to Vegas, and then my theory on why they had not announced the other hub city is that they were negotiating with Toronto. I thought everything else was a smokescreen. And so, as predicted, it's going to be Vegas and Toronto.
Well, they all pitch these big plans.
Exactly.
On why?
Yes. You know? And so why, you know when you want to start, why am I going to rush through the process when I can get the sweeter deal? It doesn't matter to me. So the NHL is probably going to make that announcement soon if they choose to, and it is another step towards the NHL playing, which I've always imagined they would, and I still do. It's the one league you don't hear any bitching about.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, on the other leagues, you know, and you're right, it sounds like, well, it's funny, yesterday there was a report that came out that later on, like yesterday afternoon, they were supposed to announce it was going to be Vegas and Toronto. And as Bob McKenzie right there from TSN said, you know, I'm just going to stop talking about that because every day we wake up hearing today is going to be the day, and then it ends up not being the day and getting moved back. But Toronto and Vegas seem to be what everyone's reporting it's going to be. But you're right about that, Fred. And the first clip that I played was from Bruce Cassidy. Now, he's being asked, as are all the other coaches right now in the NHL, have you heard from any players about whether or not they're going to play or they're going to sit out? And the reason is because you're having real names of real players, you know, decent players in as far as what they're giving up, the amount of money, the size of their star. In all the other leagues, you're hearing these players sitting out. Like, I know that with the NBA, you know, you had Avery Bradley, who was going to be sitting out, of course, for family reasons. DeAndre Jordan, we just found out yesterday, that tested positive for the coronavirus, and he's going to stay out. I know his teammate Spencer Dinwiddie also tested positive, but he did not officially rule himself out yet. Now, Wilson Chandler, also on the same team, said that he's going to be out of the season's restart, but he's got family concerns. Is there anyone in the Nets that's going to be left to play? And I know no. It doesn't really matter if it's the Nets, but I mean,
they might have to, like, call, I don't know, somebody who's available.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets team just going,
or something. I don't know.
Right, they're just going away. Like, no one's going to be left for the Nets. But I mean, you know, that's something that you're seeing major players. And in baseball, you had a couple of guys yesterday who ended up opting out.
Yeah,
and
Mike Leake was supposed to get a ton of money.
Yeah,
and he's just not going. Ryan Zimmerman said that it was because of his family. And then Ian Desmond, he's freaked out about.
How old is Ian Desmond?
I'll have to take a look. But he was set to make a decent amount of money, even prorated this year. Like, I think that he was going to make almost $6 million.
Yeah, he's 34.
His prorated share would have been $5.5 million if he would have come back and played. So he's giving up a decent amount to not play. And he can't, he wrote something yesterday that was for a million different reasons that he's not doing it. One of them being COVID-related, but another one being socially, you know, for social reasons. And like, I mean, he basically put out, here's every reason why I'm not going to do this.
But, Rich, you mentioned the corona. I mean, you were talking about the NHL. I'm seeing today 26 players have tested positive for COVID-19 since June 8th in the NHL.
That's why I was interested, and that's why that Bruce Cassidy clip was, I thought, was fairly substantial, because he came out and said, and you're right, I mean, 26 players since phase two began, essentially the second week of this month. I mean, that's a decent amount, and that's before all of the players were able to get together, so you kind of wonder what the testing is going to be.
See, I look at that all as a positive, is that they found these guys have it, they can sequester them, and then there you go. It just shows they're being tested.
No, I think the main question is that it's keeping other players in other leagues from playing. You see what I mean, Fred? Like, I mean, because...
Right, but if I was a player, I'd feel more confident. If they said no one's got it, or we don't know, I'd feel much more confident that they know that this many players have it and are sequestering them. It would make me feel better. Just like with the Tampa Bay situation, they said, I don't know, Tampa Bay, you know, look what's going on down there. I looked at that as a positive, is that they found that these guys had it. They shut down the facility and they took care of it. Again, these are things that I look on as a positive. I mean, listen, if there was a game, say they played a game, and after the game, you know, 75% of both teams had COVID, then that would be a disaster. However, before any of this starts, if people have COVID, they find out and they keep them away from the teams, that's a best case scenario. I mean, people are going to get it. I mean, I wonder if they tested people here at the station. I guarantee you someone's got it.
Well, did you? There was a really interesting theory that I heard Boomer Esiason throw out there the day before yesterday, or yesterday rather. And he was talking about, you know, how many Clemson players ended up testing positive?
I think there's over 20.
Over 20. Now. He had a theory. And he wouldn't say whether or not this was any kind of inside knowledge he had, but he had a theory that maybe the players were getting it now on purpose.
Yeah.
In order to get the antibodies so it wouldn't ruin their season, which, I mean, you'd have to be really dumb to do that.
I don't know. That sounds Dabo to me. That sounds like, hey,
everybody. That does sound like a Tom Sweeney move.
I do it. I would get COVID and sit the 2 weeks out, and then so I had the antibodies. I'd do it at 45, and in my condition, I'd absolutely do that. It doesn't sound dumb to me. Sounds like it's a smart thing to do. It's like the chicken pox. Get the chicken pox. You know, and then, I mean, hopefully, you know, it wouldn't kill me or nothing. But you know, the chances are exceptionally slim that it would.
When you're older, it's not good, though.
I mean, if you're old. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't hang out with my parents for the 2 weeks that I had it. But, yeah, I mean, that's not the dumbest thing in the world to me. But anyway, everything with the NHL is handling it. Every time that they find out someone's got it and then they – you know, they isolate that player, it's all positive to me.
No, I like the testing, and you're right. It's great that they're able to catch all of this. I guess the main thing is that you have not had, and maybe it's because the NHL hasn't rolled out everything specifically, what these players are expected, what the precautions are, where they're going to be staying, how they're going to be moving around, and maybe then it will happen. But it was a positive sign that within every other league, you've got players saying that they're not going to play because of it. You have yet to hear anything from the NHL from that. And that's with all of these positive tests. So, you know, from a pure sports perspective and like being a fan of the game and the Bruins, you want to see all the guys playing.
Right.
That is good right now, just from a pure game and sports perspective. That's good news for the NHL. that you're right now, it doesn't seem like anybody has gotten or anybody has a situation that would lend them to have to sit out. Like people like Avery Bradley, you completely understand why they're doing it.
Yes.
And it doesn't seem like right now anyone has spoken up. It doesn't mean they won't. But I thought that that was fairly significant hearing Bruce Cassidy say that nobody has raised on the Bruins any kind of issue to him about all of this.
Well, if you, I know where you can find Tuukka today.
He's on the ice, but they came back yesterday, right? I think him and Yaroslav Halak was their first day back.
Yeah, he'll be outside, don't worry.
I was going to say the Bruins shouldn't say a word anyways. Like I'm just looking at it as a sports thing. Like they're the best team in hockey this year. They want to win that. They want to win a cup.
Yeah, well, the Lakers are one of the best teams in the NBA, and they got people all over the place moving around.
Avery Bradley was a bit player on that team, you know.
Well, he was a starter.
He started at times. But all I'm saying is the
all I know is Tuukka's hitting the legs.
I don't know. I just don't think any of the Bruins are going to come out and say anything.
No.
Where I feel like maybe in the NBA there's other issues. I don't know.
In hockey, do you think how many NBA players do you know that would play with a broken rib that punctured a lung?
Good point.
I don't think a lot.
Not to mention they're coming off a Stanley Cup loss.
Yeah. I think it's a bit of a different mentality. Now, if you told me about the NBA in late 80s, early 90s, I think these guys would play through anything. But nowadays, why?
They already got paid 80% of their money.
Don't play. I don't want to have to be at Disney World.
DeAndre Jordan's probably happy he's not playing.
Well, DeAndre Jordan only has a job because he has popular friends.
By the way, Joe, somebody brings up a good point. You said bring back Perk. Perk and Durant on the same team?
Oh, yeah. sign me up.
I'll take that. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I think that the NBA, I'm not going to play. I don't want to play. I don't want to be in Orlando. And by the way, it's not like if you're on the Nets that you're going to have to be there very long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why that Kyrie stuff is so crazy.
You have like 6 weeks, I think, at least.
Well, I've heard, I can't even say. I've heard some things about Kyrie that are unsubstantiated and could land me in some trouble if I said them on the air. But it's a source that has been completely accurate about things before. It's not someone who works in media. And I've heard things about Kyrie. Not good. Not good.
Well, there's not a lot you can say about Kyrie that would make him look any weirder than he already is.
No, it doesn't make him look weird. It just makes him look like there's an issue that is happening with his. So, there you go.
Okay.
I just made a sign to Dan. That was the only sign that I made.
Well, and to everyone on Twitch.
Oh, yeah, so five people saw
it. It was good. I liked it. I got it.
Yeah, you got it? Yeah, so that is, I've heard that about Kyrie, which I don't dismiss offhand.
I hope he just, like, retires and moves on. I don't care about him anymore.
Yeah.
Like you just talked about, like, LeBron James story, and, like, there was nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, do you even want to watch it? Would you be interested in watching something on Kyrie?
If what I know is true, yeah. if what I know is true, yeah. No, but I mean, yeah, again, there has to be a story to be a good story in any kind of story. It could be a story you're telling your friends. There has to be some sort of adversity or some sort of weirdness that happens.
I need the Florida Gators team. I need that team 30 for 30.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Yeah, because then you got a murderer on it.
And like Joakim Noah was on the basketball team and like Al Horford. Just everybody that was there.
Yeah.
The whole college athletics. I need to know.
So there you go. And then you have a cover up and you have Urban Meyer facilitating all this behavior. Yeah, that'd be great. There you go. All right. We'll be joined by Will Brinson, the great Will Brinson. He's a North Carolina guy. He can give us his opinion on what's going on with Cam Newton. We can talk about that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
More of Tutcher and Rich.
Stuff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, Sports Hub.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and making getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But fun is coming along, man. We're gonna. This is a big game for him.
The Sports of where Tutcher and Rich. Will Brinson is being locked out of a room by his son, apparently. He is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com, and he also hosts the Daily Pick Six podcast. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Is this true, Mr. Brinson? Are you being locked out of a room?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm being locked out of a room. I am currently locked out of a room. I'm currently locked out of my office where I need to spend roughly 6 to 7 hours today. And I just cannot get in there. And before my son left, he gleefully exclaimed, "I locked your office. Bye, Dad." And jumped in the car for something he's doing with my wife. By the way, through my podcast, that question being asked of Cam Newton about the route, that was Jordan Rodriguez of the Athletic. She was on my podcast the other day. She just moved to she was in North Carolina. A fellow Hick down here, and she just moved to Los Angeles, where she's covering the Rams.
So what was that was completely unnecessary to talk about.
Well, no, I thought that thing we just played right there, I thought it was interesting because she was on the other side of Cam Newton being a complete and total dick, which he has a tendency to do sometimes.
Cam lost his Dannon sponsorship over that. That's how Dak Prescott got the Dannon Oikos sponsorship. Because it's a lucrative yogurt sponsorship. I know that sounds ridiculous to say out loud, but it's true. Yeah. And then Cam lost that because he insulted Jordan during that press conference.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. Wasn't that where he came back and said that he learned about Rosie the Riveter, you know, the woman of the week?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.